youth in, our young adults, our middle school, and our kids. I'm gonna preach for just a little while today and believe that God is going to speak to our hearts. Anyone ready to hear the word today? God, I pray that you'd help us to hear your word today. We are hungry as a church. We are thirsty as a people. I pray that you would make this specific and certain, and that you would help us today, Lord. Bless your word and our time together in Jesus' name, and allow miracles and signs and wonders to follow this word today. I pray it, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. We have been talking the last few Sundays, the Sundays of September, on this subject, come to the house. And really, we have been talking about a house party, if you will, relating what we do here on Sunday, the excitement, the zeal, the joy that we have here in this house. And we've approached this from different angles and tried to look at this and really see the importance of you and I getting excited about what's happening in the house, not just for our own excitement. I mean, I know I got up yesterday morning and was sweeping floors and cleaning toilets and just straightening things up a little bit, and I felt good. I felt good after I finished doing that. It feels good to know that you've taken care of your house. But it's not just about my good feeling. It's not just about, you know, being able to sit down in the recliner and know that there are no dirty dishes in the sink, or that all of the restrooms are well appointed. That's not the feeling, though that is important and that is valuable. We're cleaning for a purpose. We're getting ready because we know that company is coming. Company is coming. We want people to come to the house. And it was funny last night, just interacting and talking with different people, some of the players that were there, some of the families that were there. You know, the evening was breaking up, and I probably heard different ones say it 5 or 6 different times. People said, "Hey, stop by the house. Hey, on the way, when you get done with it, come by the house." What are they saying? "Hey, come. We want to be together. We want to spend some more time with one another. We're not quite finished here yet. We want you to come to the house. We know that our church is a place that should be inviting, and it should be exciting. And we want our friends, and we want our family members, we want our neighbors, we want our co-workers, we want our teammates on the baseball or the football team. We want everyone to come to the house." And really, it is bigger than just wanting our church to grow. It's more than just wanting to see our numbers increase. I see our numbers each week. They bring me graphs. They bring me charts. We track these things. We want to know where we are. We want to see how we're doing numbers-wise. And all of that is important. We're going to measure everything that we can measure. And we're going to get all the data that we can get. But it's more than just wanting our church to grow. It's more than just being able to say, "Look, we were averaging this on this day, and now we're averaging this." It's much more than numbers, because every time one of those numbers increases, what it means is that we're keeping someone out of hell. If someone gets saved, if someone gives their heart to Jesus, that means we're snatching someone out of hell. And that is the goal. That's the goal. That's the goal. We want to save people. We want to see people saved and come to Jesus. That's what it is all about. So, I want to talk to you today about fishing. Let's talk about fishing. I've probably drifted off into some of your favorite subject. You like fishing. I've I fished a good bit, believe it or not. I'm a city boy. I've fished a good bit in my life. The problem is that I have not been successful. I am the guy that they take to the famed hotspot and catches nothing. I mean, they can tell me this is the best spot to fish. I've caught trophies, but as soon as I get there, the fish are not going to bite. Something is not going to be right. That's why it's called fishing and not catching. Because oftentimes you go out there and work, but doesn't seem as though you have much success. In fact, Jude, my 12-year-old, has taken up fishing, and this is actually his fishing rod. This is the first fishing, I guess the first fishing rod he's ever owned. And it's a far cry from my cane pole and bobber that I started with. It's got all kinds of tricks, and he was trying to teach me today how I'm supposed to do this, and I know I'm probably going to get it wrong, but, wait. But Donnie said turn. Thank you, Donnie. Even I am not that dumb. Fishing. So we've taken up fishing, and now it's amazing how much different fishing is, because there's all kinds of tackle. There's all kinds of tackle and equipment and lures, and this thing has become quite serious. We have this stuff all over our house, it's exciting to go fishing in hopes that you're going to catch something, and in hopes that something is going to happen. Just recently, some of our church went out on a deep sea fishing trip to Florida, and they've all come back with great stories. I mean, the great whale was caught, Jonah was still inside, and they've told some great stories. I haven't seen any evidence yet. I haven't seen one fillet yet. I haven't seen any of that. I haven't heard about a fish fry on the schedule. I don't know if anything really happened, but they all left telling the same story. That they were casting, they were baiting hooks, they were out there getting excited about fishing. Fishing has been around for a long, long time. It's been a profession. It's been a sport of skill. It's been an effort for a long time. In fact, Jesus was talking, and they were telling a story in Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. This is how these men put food on the table. This is how they survived. They had a fishing business. Jesus called out to them in verse 19 and said this, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. All of us agree that these men we will come to know as disciples will be important people throughout the Bible. We know that. These are men of great importance. These are men who will later become known as apostles. They will help to establish the early church, the church that you and I are a part of. But the first disciple that Jesus called, the first man that he said, "Come and follow me," he used the idea of fishing. He said, "I want to use your skill for catching fish and show you how to fish for people." Because fishing requires skill. You won't just happen to catch a fish. All of you have tried it. You've spoke to the water and commanded fish to jump into your boat. And guess what? It's probably never happened. No, if you're going to catch fish, you're going to have to go through all of these steps. You're gonna have to do all of these things. You're going to have to pay attention. You're gonna have to do all of these different things in order to catch a fish. And then sometimes you're going to have to change lures. And sometimes you're going to have to adjust the bait. You're going to have to change everything that you're doing because it seems like whatever you're doing is not working at that particular moment. And really it is the same with evangelism. Let me tell you what fishing is not. Some say evangelism is having to be a crazy church person. Some people think they have to have a billboard on a street corner that says, "The end is near," or "Turn and burn." I remember when we first went to the Woodlands, just very early on, we had been there just a few weeks and just getting the church started and went to go to the movie theater, and it was kind of the center of the community. There was all kinds of foot traffic and people were out and about, families, very family driven, a kid driven community, and there we are walking along the sidewalk, and I begin to hear someone yelling, "You're going straight to hell!" I thought, what in the world? What is going on? Who is yelling? And I look over, and here are some young people. Don't get any ideas, church youth, but there's some young people, and they're on the street corner, and they're dressed up in their suits and ties, and they're in their Sunday best on a Friday evening, and they're screaming at people to the point that fathers are pulling their children closer to them, and husbands are moving their wives behind them, and people are nervous about what is being yelled on the street corner. And I engaged one of them, the one that told me I was going to hell. I said, "Can I at least ask your name? Maybe you want to know my name before I go to hell. I don't know, but who are you and what are you?" And he said, "I'm 14 years old, sir. And I just needed to tell you the truth. And so I tried to find out where you're from and what are you doing." And the reality was they had a little church that was over 50 miles away. I mean, there was if they had found one convert on the street corner, none of them were going to drive 50 miles to the church. And I sure wasn't going to pass out cards for them to give away to anyone. It's a model that does not work. It was not effective. I asked them, "Have you ever had one person visit your church from the way that you are trying to share the gospel?" "No, sir, not one." "Have you ever had one positive response to the way that you're yelling at people?" "No, sir. It's all been adversarial and confrontational and generally turns in an argument, and usually the police are asking us to move along." Why? Because that kind of evangelism doesn't work. So what is fishing? Fishing Jesus' way is simple. Here's your hook. Here's your lure. Here's what you need to put on your evangelism rod and reel. I have something you need. It's the best lure there is. That's the best bait there is. I have something you need. Not in a selling something sort of way, but the same way that one beggar would tell another beggar, "I know where you can find bread. I have what you need." You see, Peter began following Jesus from this very moment. When Jesus said, "Come and follow me, I'm going to teach you how to fish for people," he had Peter's attention. Peter said, "All right, I want to be a part of this. I want to experience this. I want to see this for myself." And so for the next 3 years, he has this front row seat to everything that Jesus is doing. He goes from one kind of fishing to another kind of fishing. It's exactly what we were doing with a 3-on-3 basketball tournament last night. We were fishing. We were fishing. We were feeding people and blessing people. and giving things away and giving money away and giving prizes away. What are you doing? We're fishing. We're fishing. We're trying to let people know in this community that we love them. Was it a lot of work? Yes, fishing is always a lot of work. Were your feet tired when you got home? Yes, my dogs were barking. But it's always an effort. It's always an expense of energy and time when you go fishing. But the rewards are unbelievable. The good things that happen because we go fishing, it's amazing. In fact, Acts 4 and 20 says, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. It's what I'm doing. I'm telling every person that will listen to me about the things that I have seen and heard. This is what fishing looks like. This is how we do it. We tell friends and family and coworkers what Jesus has done for us, how he has changed us, how he has saved us, how he loves us unconditionally. Can I tell you today that fishing is not as difficult as we make it? Fishing, evangelism really is no different than wanting someone to know about a movie you liked or a restaurant you love. Have you ever had someone ask you about a restaurant? Hey, I'm new here. Can you tell me where that? We've been doing that a lot. Tell us about your favorite restaurant. It's amazing how animated people get about their favorite restaurant. Listen, you got to go. The sweet tea is amazing. If you go there and you get their fried chicken, I mean, people get, they you know, you can almost taste the food. You can almost smell it cooking just by their description. But yet somehow when we start telling people about church, it's with this almost apologetic, well, you're probably not going to want to go. It's probably too early for you on a Sunday. I mean, it's kind of loud sometimes. This is probably not. But I mean, here's an invite card. I mean, if you want to, if you have time somewhere, sometime. Well, no, if you talk to me about church, you know, the same way you talk to me about the restaurant you love, because I tried the restaurant, you tell me. If you tell me about church the same way you tell me about the movie that you were fascinated with or the restaurant that you love, I'm going to want to experience the church that you love as well. That's how we fish for people. It's how we tell people about Jesus. Just like you and I talking about something or someone that we've experienced. In this case, it is Jesus. So let's look at another fishing story done Jesus' way. And from this story, we're going to ask four questions. And that's what I'm going to leave you with today. Four questions from John chapter 1, verse 43. If you want to take notes, you can do that. But here's what the Bible said. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come, follow me. Here's another disciple, Philip, that Jesus is calling. I want you to come and follow me. In fact, the Bible said that Jesus found Philip. He found him. Who found who? Jesus found Philip. Some fish are hard to catch. Some fish are hidden in hard places. But a good fisherman knows how to catch fish. Can I tell you, you may be a difficult fish to catch, but Jesus knows where you are. You may be hiding in the perfect bluff. You may be hiding in the perfect set of weeds. You may have found that sunken little spot down there, and you're just hid out perfectly in your life, and nobody's bothering you. But guess what? Jesus knows right where you are. How do I know that? Because he found me too. He found me just like he is finding you, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that Jesus found me. So the first question that I see from this verse of Scripture is, when did Jesus catch you? When did it happen? If you've got an amazing fish story, you know exactly where you were. You know exactly what the weather was. You know that it was overcast. You know that it was cool. You know that it was warm. You know exactly what was happening on that day. It is an indelible imprint on your memory screen that says, yes, this is where I was. This is what I was wearing. This is the lure that I was using. This is the bait that I was using. This is exactly how my equipment was functioning on that day. I can tell you exactly when Jesus caught me. One time I was caught by the police. I left Revival in San Antonio. I was trying to get back to Houston. I was preaching a conference Tuesday night in Indianapolis. I was driving late. I was going too fast. I had no idea that I had an unpaid ticket somewhere and there was a warrant for my arrest. I didn't know. Promise. I didn't know. But when that man came up to the window, and I thought this just going to be a routine situation, he's going to give me a ticket and I'm going to be on my way, all of a sudden he started talking about, do you remember getting a ticket in such and such place? Of course, I had no recollection of that, didn't know what he was talking about, but all I know is I'm up against the hood and I'm getting handcuffs put on, and we're on our way back to the police car, and there's a dog in the back seat. I was afraid he was going to put me in the back seat with the dog, but thankfully he put me in the front seat, and I was trying to, can you move this seat back, sir? He said, what do you think this is, Uber? This is not Uber. No, I'm not moving the seat back for you. I'm too tall. These handcuffs are too tight. I mean, everything about this situation was all wrong. It's the middle of the night, and I'm trying to call someone to come and get me out of jail. Come and pay my bail. Why? Because I got a conference to preach. Lord, when I got to the conference, I had been in prayer for 24 hours. Been fasting too. Anticipating God is going to do something great in this service tonight. When did you get caught? You know the exact moment you were caught. You know the exact moment you were snagged. You know the exact moment that you got hooked. When did Jesus catch you? And here, the answer has nothing to do with a class I took or a ritual or some night I was scared and begged God. No, Jesus found me when friends and family helped me see that I desperately needed Him. That's when I got caught, when I came to the realization that I could not save myself. Because the truth is, I can't take enough classes or check enough boxes or obey enough rules. When I realized that I was lost and that Jesus loved me unconditionally, just as I was, just like I was, but He loved me too much to leave me the way I was. And He said, I have to help you and heal you and fix you, knowing that Jesus wanted an actual relationship with me where I could talk to Him any time of the day or night. I didn't need an intermediary. I didn't need someone in a closet beside me. I didn't need someone behind a curtain. I didn't need someone else to take my message to Jesus. He said I could come boldly to the throne of grace, but wait a minute, I'm dirty. He said, come on, bring your righteousness. It's as filthy rags, but bring it. Bring your ashes and let me give you joy. Bring your tattered garment and let me put a new robe on you. Come, just talk to me. Some of you hadn't come to Jesus because you don't know what you're going to say to Him. Just say, Lord, here I am. I don't know what else to say. I just know I want to open my mouth and give you my tongue and give you my voice and give you my vocal. You, Lord, speak through me. I just know that I'm tired of living this way. I want to live your way. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it Jesus' way. And when I knew that I could come to Him, that's when Jesus found me. Look at verse 44 of John chapter 1. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David." You see the progression? Jesus found Philip. And then what did Philip do? He went and found Nathanael. You see it? Jesus finds Philip. Philip goes and finds Nathanael. And that makes the next question easy. Number two is who? We established when we were caught, but who? Who is counting on you to find them? Who did Jesus use to find you? Who helped Jesus fish you out of the water? Who did Jesus use to help fish you out of the dark? We all have someone who reached for us. Every faith story has a relationship component. You needed someone to help you, and guess what? Someone needs you. I don't want to hurry past that moment because sometimes I think in the church world we get real comfortable and we forget the people who reached for us. Some of you were radically saved, and it took a radical Christian, it took a radical believer to come to where you were, to talk to you, as awkward, as difficult as maybe you made it, as challenging as that conversation, as obstinate as you were, as brick wall as you were, as unemotional, unreadable face as you were, they just kept persisting and saying, "Man, I want you to know how much I care about you." They just kept baiting the hook. Every time they went out and cast, they didn't catch you, but they kept coming back over and over again until finally you said, "Yes, I'll go to church with you, but I'm only going one time, and I'm going to sit in the back, and I'm not going to participate, and I'm not going to like it, and I'm not going to want to come back ever again, but I'll come one time." Can I tell you, our responsibility is not to save people. Our responsibility is just to be the relationship component that Jesus wants to use to do the saving himself. I'm preaching good. The third question is how? How? How do I do this? Don't you hate it when you don't know how to do things? Does that bother anybody else but me? I get frustrated with so much of the modern technology today. I like to think of myself as cutting edge, but I can't figure out how Snapchat works. I was in a panic. We were getting ready for small groups on Wednesday night, and I was trying to get my computer onto the screen and share the screen, and I don't know what happened. I just plugged something in, and everything in my computer disappeared. Everything. And the reality is I'm still living temporarily, so I don't have all my backup stuff set up. So my computer, every time I log on, tells me that I haven't backed up in 276 days or whatever it is. And I keep just rolling the dice saying, it's all right. I've never had anything happen. Until Wednesday. Everything was gone. What am I going to do? I don't know how to fix this. I'm on the phone with people and they do not know how to fix this. And then I ultimately get to the right person, but I don't like being ignorant of those things. I don't like not knowing how to do something. There's nothing worse than being told to do something but not being told how to do it. How do I do this? Look at how Philip took care of business after he found the who? Nathanael. Hey, buddy. We found the one. Moses and the prophets also wrote about. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Listen, man, we found him. We want you to come. Come with us, man. Just come on. And here is Philip's response, Nathanael's response, rather. Nathanael says, Nazareth, can any good thing come from there? Don't you just love the skeptics? Skeptics keep us on our toes, and sometimes they jump up and down on our last nerve. See, some people think it's their purpose for being on the planet is to question everything. I just don't know if I agree with that. Are you sure? Can we just agree to disagree? No, they question everything. But here is how Philip dealt with the skeptics. He just used three words. He said, come and see. Just come and see. Don't take my word for it. Just come and see for yourself. That's how you fish. Because remember, church is a chance. Every empty seat is a chance. If we can just get them here, if we can just get 50 plus of our friends here on Friends Day, if we can just get, I don't know, 100 or 200 people here for a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, all we can do is say, come and see. We teach it in every Discover Church, how to fish for people. 101, number one, you accept the personal responsibility. In other words, I play a part in helping people find Jesus. Number two, be willing to share your personal story. You may not want to share all of your story. You may be embarrassed or ashamed or of certain aspects or part of your story, but there is some part of your story that I promise Jesus wants to use to help other people. Be willing to share your personal story. And then number three, give a personal invitation. Let's don't complicate this. Let's don't make this hard. Just come and see for yourself. Can I just free you today? You do not have to learn to argue Jesus. You don't have to become an apologist for the scriptures. You don't have to debate the case for Christ. Just say, come and see for yourself. You know what? Jesus will make his own case. Look at what happened when Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus. John 1, verses 4 to 6. Nazareth, can any good thing come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still hid, still under the fig tree before Philip even called you. I knew where you were before you ever got the invitation to come to church. How do you think I even orchestrated the invitation for you to get to church? See, you just think it's one of your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, or your family judging you all the time. No, it's Jesus trying to use them to just invite you to come and see. How did you even know where I was? He said, I saw you. I saw you at the fig tree before he ever even called you. Then Nathanael declared. Why? Because he knew exactly what he was feeling when he was there at that fig tree. He knew exactly what was going on in his heart and mind. He may not have admitted that to Philip. He may not have told any of his friends or family about it. But he knew exactly. And as soon as Jesus identified what he had been feeling, then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. In verse 4 to 6, Nathanael is a skeptic, but in verse 49, there has been a transformation. He's gone from skeptic to believer. What changed? Nathanael met Jesus. Not Nathanael met me. Not Nathanael heard me. Nathanael met Jesus. Philip made the introduction. Jesus made the transformation. just got to get them here somehow. And then let Jesus do what he does best. Because again, I want you to be free of this idea. We do not save people. We bring people to Jesus and let Jesus do the saving. We are not called to legislate morality. We're not called to win arguments. We're not called to set rules so people will not sin. We're not asked to write religious rule books. We are called to bring the broken to Jesus. Just like those four men lumbered and labored around, struggling to carry our paralyzed Joel Treadwell last Sunday. We're just called to get people into the presence of Jesus. That's how we do it. And that brings us to the final question. What? We've talked about the when, we've talked about the who, we've talked about the how, but what is the what? What is my next step? What do I do now? You know what we do? We go fishing. We go fishing. That's what we do. That's what he's asking us to do. I know this is kind of crude fishing this morning, but I've got your sushi lunch up here today. I'm just going to see if I can get one of these guys into my net. All right. Yeah. I think Jude named him Charlie this morning. Charlie's it's here on the table. Not in the water. I see him breathing. Charlie. He's good. Is this bothering anybody today? Look at you. You're like, put him back in the water. What is PETA's phone number? Kristen's shaking her head. This is a bad illustration. Here's the reality. Some of us are more concerned with this fish being out of the environment he belongs in than we are about our friends not being in this house. Let me get him back. Woo! It's a miracle. I did my research. Goldfish can live 1 to 3 hours out of the water, believe it or not. The longest time recorded is 13 hours that a goldfish lived outside of the water. True story. No fish were harmed in the preaching of this message. But it's amazing what will concern us. What will overwhelm us, what will move us, what will grab our hearts when the thing that really matters, people. You see, our friends, our family, they need us to care. They need us to notice. They need us to do what you just did. Hey, excuse me, fish out of water. Put it back. They need you to be aware that something is not right in their life. And not judge them, not tell you, you know, I told you not to go out with him. I told you not to move there. It's not what they need. They need someone to say, hey, come and see. Come and see. That's the what. They need us to go fishing. Let's go fishing. Why? Because there's still chairs and seats, chances, opportunities, and rows, places. Let's go fishing. Let's grow as a church. Let's find new levels, new numbers. Not for numbers' sake, but because every time we baptize someone in this tank, we're saving someone from the grip of hell. I know that word is not popular in a 2018 church, because we've taken the blood out and we've taken hell out, and now you're just, you know, we just want you to have this perfect life. But I got to be honest with you. There's only two options. I'm either going to spend eternity with him, or I'm going to spend eternity without him. And I definitely don't want to take the gamble of thinking, well, I'm good right now. I'll wait a little while longer, but I've got an eye on the news. I know enough about the book of Revelation, the way I was raised, that if I hear this trigger word or that trigger word, I'm going to come running into a church. Don't take that risk. Can I tell you that Jesus could come back any moment? We used to sing it. It could be morning, noon, or night. Better live ready. Live right. Live on fire for him. Maybe you, like the goldfish, are alive. You're functioning. Charlie was still moving. But you know you're not where you should be. Come and see. I would love to introduce you to Jesus today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over this room. Oh. Oh. Here you sit today in solitude of just presence of God. People on your row, people in front and behind, but it feels like you're the only one in this room. Listen, this is an individual moment, a personal moment designed just for you by God. An opportunity for you to say, you know what, Lord, I need you. If you're in this room today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, or maybe it's been a while, maybe it's been months or years, or maybe it was a childhood thing and here you are, a teenager, a young adult, a grown man or woman, saying, where is my life today? Come on, I want you to see Jesus today. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I want to pray with you today. And if you want to borrow my words, you can pray with me. If you want to use your own words. But I wonder if you'd say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I can't do this without you. I can't make it without you. I want you to save me. Eternity with you is the only option. So I need you to forgive me. I need you to wash me. I need you to heal me. I want you to save me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate with every person today that made that decision, made that choice? Yeah, it's awesome. Listen, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, or you prayed prayer of renewal or commitment today, we would love to put a resource into your hand. This is called Following Jesus. It's simple. It's just, I don't know, 40, 50 pages. You can literally read it in an afternoon. It's easy reading. Someone at Church Central would love to put one of these in your hand. You can get one of these free of charge today. It's just, what is my next step? What do I do tomorrow? I prayed today. What do I do tomorrow? What do I read in my Bible? What next step do I take? What about baptism? What do I need to do in order to continue putting one foot in front of the other? This will help you, I promise. And we want to put it into your hand today, free of charge. We want to build a relationship with you. We want to help you. We want to lead and guide. We've got small groups. We've got Discover Church. We have so many fantastic ways, on-ramps, paths that can help you find what you need in Jesus. So we celebrate that decision, but I need somebody to make one more decision today. If you want to stand with me across the room, I'm wondering if there's anyone who wants to go fishing. People in this church, people a part of this house, people who know how great God has been to you, who would say, just give me a pole. I want to go fishing. I want to bring someone. I want to help someone find life in Christ. Anybody? Anybody? Anyone? 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 Anyone willing to get uncomfortable for just a... Anyone willing to walk 24,000 steps on a Saturday? Anyone willing to work hard to organize and plan and put together? Anyone willing to go fishing? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to open the altar today. If you want to find a place to pray, I like doing this. Family Fifth Sunday, it's a wonderful opportunity for you to bring your family to the altar together. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to connect and come close and say, you know what? I just want to love on Jesus for a few moments. I want to give God praise today for a few moments. While our team ministers today, if you want to say yes in your own way, to say, Lord, I'm making a fresh commitment. I'm making this fresh start. I'm going to get conscientious about my efforts to fish in this community, to pray, to bless people, to make a difference in someone's life. In the name of Jesus, oh, thank you, Lord.